Greetings in the name of Christ to all of you. I'm Reverend Joan Pell, and I bring you warm greetings this morning from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. It will be lovely to know that you are worshipping with us today. There is a form below this video where you can just type in your name and location and click on the red box. Today we're continuing with week four of our five-week sermon series, Living Outside the Box, as we consider that while we try to box God in, God is always breaking outside of the box and shattering our understanding of life in the kingdom of God. In our scripture today from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus asks the question, "Who do you say that I am?" Peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And will you join me, please, in our call to worship? Your parts are in white, and these words were written by Richard Bott. They went to Jesus, and he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" They answered, "You are the eschatological manifestation of the ground of our being, the kerygma of which we find meaning in our interpersonal relationships." And Jesus said, "What?" Faith doesn't have to be that hard. Life doesn't have to be that difficult. Sometimes we just have to live God's love. Sometimes we just have to live what we believe. And so we are here, simply to sing, to celebrate, to worship God. And so we're going to begin our service by singing. It's number 65 from Singing the Faith. The words will be on the screen. So let's sing joyfully of the Lord's goodness and bring our melodies and praise and thanks to God.
Goodness, Father of all wisdom, come to him and bless his name. Mercy he has shown us, his love is forever, faithful to the end of days. Come and all you nations, sing of the Lord's goodness, melodies of praise and thanks to God. Ring out the Lord's glory, praise him with your music, worship him and bless his name. Wielding all our his garment, risen from the snares of death. His word he has spoken, one bread he has broken, new life he now gives to all. Come then, all you nations, sing of the Lord's goodness, melodies of praise and thanks to God. Ring out the Lord's glory, praise him with your music, worship him and bless his name. In our darkness, comfort in our sorrow, Spirit of our God Most High. Solace for the weary, pardon for the sinner, splendor of the living God. Come and all you nations, sing of the Lord's goodness, melodies of praise and thanks to God. Ring out the Lord's glory, praise him with your music, worship him and bless his name. Praise him with your singing, praise him with the trumpet, praise God with the lute and harp. Praise him with the cymbals, praise him with your dancing, praise God to the end of days. Come then, all you nations, sing of the Lord's goodness, melodies of praise and thanks to God. Ring out the Lord's glory, praise him with your music, worship him and bless his name. Worship him and bless his name. Worship him and bless his name.
Let us come before God now in prayer. Gracious God, light of the world, we know you by so many names. To the hungry, you are the bread breaker. To the imprisoned, the freedom giver. To the lonely, the companion maker. To the thirsty, you are the wine pourer. To the forgotten, the name caller. To the unloved, the love maker. To the excluded, you are the table setter. To the sinner, the grace giver. To the silenced, the word maker. We come before you this morning to confess that we exalt possessions and power when you alone are to be exalted. Forgive us and grant us mercy. May we each recognize your presence with us here this morning. Come and impart the light of your grace to fill up our hearts. Amen.
This morning's reading comes from Matthew chapter 16, reading from verse 13. When he came to the territory of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" They answered, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "And you," he asked, "who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonah, you are favored indeed. You did not learn that from mortal man. It was revealed to you by my heavenly Father. And I say this to you, you are Peter, the rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall never conquer it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What you forbid on earth shall be forbidden in heaven, and what you allow on earth will be allowed in heaven." He then gave his disciples strict orders not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Amen.
Peter's response to Jesus's question, "Who do you say that I am?" is to reply that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. What do you say? Let us bow down now before God and confess that Jesus is Lord. He is King. He is love. He is life. Number 348.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is King. He is King. Christ is life.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about how our views of faith are often limited and how we put ourselves and Jesus in a box. But he keeps breaking out and meeting us in unexpected ways, expanding our boxes. Just when we think we've grasped what God wants us to grasp, we find ourselves changing again. The more we experience, the more perspectives we have. I love this picture of a man's face. Take a quick look. Are you looking at the side of a man's face? Or are you seeing a man facing forward? We're all looking at the same thing, and yet we've got two different opinions or perspectives as to what we are seeing. Perhaps you're seeing both. Sometimes we have to live with paradox. It reminds me of this advertisement about child abuse. It's designed so that somebody at a child's height can read information that cannot be seen from an adult's height. An adult sees one thing, the picture on the left, and a child sees something different, the picture on the right. The child can see a bruised face with a cut lip and text that says, "If somebody hurt you, phone us and we'll help you." And it gives the phone number. The changed perspective gives a different vision. There are many sides to all of us. There are many ways for others to look at us. No two people would describe a person in the same way. And it saddens me sometimes at funerals when there's a time of sharing stories about the deceased and I hear something about that person's life and I think, oh, I wish I had known that side of them. But in amongst the stories, there are often some characteristics that carry over and are seen by everyone, regardless of the relationship with that person. Perhaps a sense of humour, or a talent, or a willingness to go the extra mile, or of always being ready to help and metaphorically giving you the shirt off their back. How will people remember us? So how did people think of Jesus? Who was Jesus? I grew up in the church, and the first views that I remember of Jesus were as I sat on the small, brightly painted chairs, neatly arranged in two rows in the Sunday school, with my teacher, Miss Marshman, up the front, and her assistant, who sat at the piano. And Jesus' picture was on the wall. Do you remember the one? Fair-skinned, long hair, kind-looking, smiling, meek and mild. We had another one as well of Jesus with the children gathered around him. I was taught that Jesus was kind and gentle and loved children. And as we were told Bible stories week after week, people told me Jesus was a storyteller, a miracle maker, a healer, a teacher, a shepherd. Tell me the stories of Jesus was my favourite hymn. Jesus rode into town on a donkey on Palm Sunday and was arrested, tried and crucified and then rose again so that my sins could be forgiven. I didn't like that bit about his death, but I loved Easter morning. We'd go to church early for breakfast and the service was always triumphant. But Jesus was just whatever other people told me. Then came my teenage years. We went to see Jesus Christ Superstar, the musical, on stage. I saw an angry Jesus there. He seemed exciting and came to life. And then through those teenage years, I gradually discovered that I could have a relationship with Jesus. My faith became personal. Jesus became my friend and could walk with me when things were rough. And so my faith adventure began, but Jesus didn't stay static. My perspective was constantly evolving. Jesus became unfathomable, deep and ungraspable, yet oddly close, intimate, talkative, and relentlessly relational. When I became a parent, Jesus became my teacher, and growing to be like him and taking on his values of love and compassion became important in raising my children. And grace and forgiveness took on new meanings. As a seminary student and then a minister, I've met people from so many different cultures, and my viewpoints have been challenged. And Jesus became a prophet to me. And we fought and wrestled. And I began to understand what social justice is all about. And it was no longer just about Jesus as my personal savior, but about Jesus as liberator, showing us the way of life that brings about redemption and salvation for the whole world. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each give us a different portrait or perspective. Yet we have a tendency to mush them together. Mark says that God's Spirit descended on Jesus when he was baptized. Matthew has a birth story with magi, and Luke with shepherds. John says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And we're left to harmonize or to live with the paradox. Theologians interpreting the Gospels tell us that Jesus was fully divine and fully human. We see the human side of Jesus. He has to resist temptation. He socializes at a wedding. He has his mind changed by a Gentile woman after he called her a dog, a story that we heard last week. He gets angry at the money changers swindling people. He weeps when Lazarus dies. He gets tired and goes away on his own. He pleads with God to find another way other than crucifixion. If he was just fully divine and not fully human, then these events wouldn't mean as much to us. We also see the divine side of Jesus. Jesus as Saviour, as the Son of God, as Lord, as Sovereign, as Messiah coming to usher in a new kingdom. We see Jesus offering forgiveness and reconciliation, a Jesus who puts us back in right relationship with Jesus, with God. Jesus who does what seems impossible through the power and grace of God. If Jesus was just human, then we lose God and think that we can do it all on our own. We need his divinity and his humanity. It would be nice if I could just stop there, but Jesus suddenly started to become not so safe. I like the way that theologians and artists from other countries help to point the cross-cultural pieces out to us. Look at some of this artwork portraying Jesus in a different way. Jesus makes demands on us. He challenges our lifestyle. He says, "Follow me." Jesus is constantly on the move, traveling from place to place. If we want to know him, then we have to meet him on the road. He's constantly inviting us to join him, and then he sends us away. "Go make disciples," says Jesus. He doesn't let us settle into our comfortable life. He constantly upsets our perspective. Jesus doesn't fit in a static box, and he's bigger than our ability to hold on to him. And Jesus is a peacemaker. Although his peace often began as disruption, as he made a subversive nuisance of himself, yet he refused violence. He said, "If somebody slaps you on the right cheek, offer them the left. If a Roman asks you to carry his pack for 1 mile, then go 2. Pray for your enemies bless those who persecute you. He commands non-violence, non-retaliation, and forgiveness. And ultimately, he lived it out by just hanging there as he was crucified. And then Jesus has compassion on all. He reaches out to those on the margins of society, to the leper, to the blind, to the tax collector, and extends the definition of neighbour. He brings liberation, a way out, setting the captives free. But it's still not enough to hear what others say. "Who do you say that I am?" asked Jesus. Today, as well as couching my answer in traditional terms that Jesus is my Lord and Saviour, I would answer that Jesus is the heart of God. Jesus reveals God's character and what God is passionate about. He's the Word of God in a person. When I look at Jesus, I see God. Now, tomorrow I might explain things in a different way, because Jesus never stays in the box that I want to put him in, and there's always some other perspective. And sometimes that perspective is a paradox too. But what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? Are you willing to attempt an answer? Does it matter? Well, I think it does matter, because our actions come out of our beliefs. If Jesus is meek and mild, then that is whom we become. If Jesus was radical, ushering in a new kingdom, advocating non-violent peace ways, not settling for the status quo, on the side of the poor and the oppressed, and one who reveals the passions of God, then that shapes who we are called to be in Ipswich. It matters, because no one who meets Jesus stays the same. After Peter's confession, Jesus said he was building the church on Peter. And so now we are that church. We are here because we are followers of Christ, called and sent by him. We're here trying to figure out together who Jesus is, so that we can be the church right here in Suffolk on a risky, exciting, exhilarating, transformational journey. As we risk looking at the box in other ways, from some changing perspectives, we will travel together, and Jesus will be with us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray together. O God, we all experience you differently in our lives. Yet you are always moving and relating personally to us, challenging us and going deeper. In the silence of our hearts now, like Peter, we confess who you are, not whom other people say you are. Though you are known by many names and depicted in many ways, we know you, O God, most fully in Jesus Christ, our Messiah, your Son. We thank you for forming us into the church, the body of Christ in the world. Help us to live as he taught us, loving you, loving neighbor, and unified in Christ. Using our varied gifts and skills in the service of ministry, until all things are transformed into what is good and acceptable and perfect. We pray for our nation, for all those who govern and who make tough decisions. Give them wisdom. We give thanks this week for the U-turn on the A-level results, giving a result that is more, has more justice to it. And we give thanks that some of those students have been able to get in to their first place universities. Be with the students in the upcoming term. We pray for all those who need your healing hand. Especially this week, we lift up California with many fires burning out of control. We pray for those who've lost their homes, for those evacuated from their homes, for those just waiting for the call to leave, for those in fear. We pray for our firefighters, that you will be with them and give them wisdom as to the best way to put out the fires. And we lift up others on our minds, the concerns that we have and the joys that we have. Grant those who need comfort, healing, and peace. In the name of Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, we pray as we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. A few announcements. Landseer Methodist Church is gathering in the church garden this afternoon at 2 p.m., weather permitting. Bring your own refreshments, and this week the toilet will be open as the building was cleaned this week. Chantry Methodist Church opens from today onwards on Sundays for in-person worship at 9:30 a.m. Museum Street is already open at 10:45 a.m. Please wear a face covering and arrive no earlier than 15 minutes before the service. I'd like to thank the others who have participated in our service today. Mona Howes from Landseer Road for reading the scripture. Elizabeth Story and Neil Hethelwaite from our circuit on vocals. And my husband Adrian Pell on keyboard and vocals. So as we come to the time for our offertory, I invite you at this time to remember your local church, wherever that church is, and to give generously of your time, your talent, and your treasure. Thank you. Let us pray a blessing. Gracious God, you have given us more mercy than we could imagine and more blessings than we deserve. Receive now these gifts as tokens of our gratitude to you, that your mercy may be multiplied and your blessings abound to embrace all those in need. Amen. We're going to close by singing At the Name of Jesus as we bow and confess that he is the King of Glory. It's number 317.
At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of Glory now. We should call him Lord. Now from the beginning was the mighty Word. Humbled for a season to reach. see the name from the lips of sinners unto whom he came. Faithfully he bore it, spotless to the last, brought it back victorious when from death he passed. Bore it up triumphant with its human light, through all ranks of creatures to the central height, to the throne of Godhead, to the Father's breast, filled it with the glory of that perfect rest. In your hearts enthrone him, there let him subdue all that is not holy, all that is not true. Crown him as your captain in temptation's hour. Let his will enfold you in its light and power. For this same Lord Jesus shall return again with his Father's glory, with his angel train. All the wreaths of empire meet upon his brow, and our hearts confess him King of glory now. And our hearts confess him King of glory now.
Jesus asks each of us, who do you say that I am? Answer his question this day and all your days, in every word you speak and with every action you perform. And may God, the Creator, Redeemer and Sustainer, be with you all, now and evermore. And all God's people say, Amen.